with the second Monday in 2015, in September of 2015, where a small group like this, we started a Bible study. And as we were talking about it, and we were starting, you know, in the book of Genesis, and we started studying that book. The plan was different. What was supposed to happen was different, but it was profound, and it changed my life. The group was much smaller than what it is today. It was Monday. It was, I still remember, it was raining. There is very few of us there. And we started to look at Genesis. Little did I know that what was going to happen in the coming years. So God blessed that humble beginning. And as we started that book of Genesis, it just led to one thing, to another, and to another. I ended up starting a blog, which was the notes for the Genesis Bible study. And last year on that blog, I had readers from 70 different countries. Okay, every continent, Middle East, countries that you would never think that there are people who read God's word. This is like Iran, Malaysia, China, Russia, from every place you can think of. People read this blog. So why I'm sharing this with you, we are starting something new, a beginning, and it is going to change our lives. No matter where we are in our walk with Christ, wherever we stand in our belief of Christ or our unbelief, wherever we are, it is going to change us, and it is going to show us the glory of God. So I hope you are here with an expectation. It's not just that, okay, we are here and we are going to study the Bible. This is going to have some impact on you, you know. So the book of Genesis, and today we are not going to cover that many verses, because I have to give you a little bit of background. I have to give you a little bit of what Genesis is and why it is so important. So when you look at the Bible itself, right, Bible is a living word. And the Bible is a 66 book, but Genesis is one of the book, the first book. There is no other book like the Genesis book. And so when you look at the, when we look at our church today, a lot of times what happens is people, pastors only want to teach from the New Testament. There are churches that will only speak on the red letter words. The red letter words are what? What the Jesus, you know, in the Bible, the Gospels. The rest of them, they say, well, that's not important. But you cannot understand New Testament, right, as I said before, until you study the Old Testament, and particularly the book of Genesis. So whatever we have to understand Genesis. When you understand Genesis, then you understand why you need Jesus. Then you will understand why you need salvation. Then you are going to understand why I need to do what the New Testament tells me to do. Okay, and just have a walk with Christ. Unless you understand Genesis, the rest of it is meaningless. You might as well not be Christian. Okay, I'm even going to narrow it down further. Okay, when we come into the Genesis, the first 11 chapter is very important to understand. Without understanding the first 11 chapters, you are not going to understand the whole ministry of Jesus. Why Jesus came, why he, he performed all of the miracles that he did, why he had to do what he did. You're not going to understand that if you start in the Genesis 12. You know, if let's say you say, I don't want to deal with all that stuff, I'm going to start with the father of the faith. I'm going to start with Abraham in chapter 12. And you're going to be like, okay, that's not going to make sense to you when you get to the New Testament. You must understand the first 11 chapters, okay? Even when you go to the 11 chapters, I'm even going to narrow it down all the way to the first 3 chapters. Because when you look at the world and when you look at the science, you look at the scientists, the researchers and medical and all of those people, the secular world, what what they will try to do is get rid of the first three chapters. Somehow get rid of the first three chapters. Because what happens when you get rid of the first three chapters? If there is no sin, which is the introduction in the Genesis 3, then you don't need a savior. If you don't need a savior, then you don't need to accept Jesus. Right? Then you can live a life how you are going to live. You don't need a no moral code because God is the giver of the moral code. And if he is not in the equation, we don't have to worry about any of the rest of the stuff that the Bible talks about. All right? So then we can be our own gods. So they try to do away with the first three chapters of Genesis. There are no other books in the Bible under attack more than the first three books of Genesis. Okay? That is a fact. Okay? I'm going to even narrow it down more. Okay? We come to Genesis 1:1. And that's for us. Those of us who grew up in church, those of us who know a little bit of Bible, we have attended church, we know the plan of God, right? If you don't believe Genesis 1:1, the rest is meaningless. Okay, you remove Genesis 1:1 from the Bible, the rest of the Bible is useless. Why did there have to be an Exodus? Why does that have to be a savior? Why? None of the Bible makes sense if you remove Genesis 1:1. So when we come to Genesis, it's so important for us to understand that, you know, that this Genesis is a foundational book. It's a foundation on which we build our spiritual house. If you don't have the foundation, what does the parable in the New Testament say? You are building on a sand. Not with a firm foundation, right? So when you come to Genesis, there are two options, and I'm going to give you two different options, right? When it comes to Genesis, the word Genesis means the origin or the beginning, right? And you have two options there. You either believe that the world was created by God, or you believe it wasn't. There is no other option, right? It was either created by God, it wasn't. The second thing is, either you believe Genesis or you don't. I thought this study is not going to, you know, this is a real study. This study is not about me giving you scientific evidence to support the creation. You know, this is not an argument about creation versus evolution. Yes, we are going to touch on some of those things, but that's not my purpose. My purpose is to introduce all of us to God, okay? And what Genesis does is it introduces us to a God. Because how else would we know God unless God told us himself about him? In our natural world, we have no way to connect with the supernatural unless God told us. And so Genesis and the rest of the books of Bible is God telling us who he is. And then he reveals his plan. Okay? Now, all of you guys are, from Sarah, who's a doctor, to all of you, right? To school, college, and you have learned the theory of evolution, right? But when you guys went to school, it is never taught as a theory, right? It is taught to you as a fact. It was a fact that evolution happened, okay? What they fail to say is it's a theory. No man ever in the history has ever created anything. Only God can create. Men can make things. Men cannot create anything. Okay? And so when we come to Genesis, for me, it is easier for me to believe that this supreme being, God, spoke the world into existence than to think that nothing equals to nothing becomes everything that we see. It takes a lot of faith to believe in that, you know. And I don't want to really go deep into the evolution, right? If you are interested, there are books like Darwin on Trial, Darwin's Black Box. There are tons of other books that tell you what's the problem with an evolution. And today, if you take a poll of most of the scientists, they tell you although they even don't believe into evolution. Okay, so these are the things that we want to keep in mind as we get into Genesis. Okay, because what does the material world tell us? That we were made from nothing, out of an accident, basically, right? Without any purpose. But God in Genesis tells us we were made with a purpose by loving God with a destiny and applying our own, right? Science wants us to just make us into animals. We are animals. So it is so important for us to understand this. So as we go through this study, and I'm not going to cover it in detail today, but I hopefully as we go, we are going to see the genesis, the origin of, first and foremost, and the origin of universe, right? It's the origin of universe. When you look at any literature, philosophical literature or scientific literature, or if you look at religion, different religion and myth that exists in the world, all of them, when it comes to the creation of the universe, talks about is there's an eternal energy or eternal power that created the universe. It is only in the book of Genesis it talks about eternal God who created the universe, right? So we have the origin of universe. We have the origin of order and complex order. And what it means by this earth is the earth exists on an order, right? It has to revolve around the sun at a certain angle, at a certain degree, at a certain speed. Yet it's very complex. Okay, I don't want to go deep into every aspect of this. It is the origin of the solar system. That's where we got the stars, the sun, the moon, all this that the world is so interested in was created. Origin is in Genesis. We have origin of atmosphere, right? Or the hydrosphere. All the gases, the oxygen, the nitrogen, the water, everything that we have was created in Genesis. And what is the world looking for right now? What is the main thing that NASA is looking for right now?
Life on Mars.
Life on another planet where we can exist. And what are they looking for? They are looking for an atmosphere which can sustain our lifestyle. But that origin here in Genesis, God created this perfect equation where we have the oxygen and nitrogen and all the stuff that we need in abundance. Okay, then we have the origin of life. We have the origin of men. We have the origin of life, origin of men. We have the origin of a government. We have the origin of marriage. We have the origin of religion, the true religion as well as the false religion. We have the origin of culture in Genesis. Music, arts, all of that is mentioned in Genesis, okay? We have the origin of evil, first murder. So when you look at this Genesis, I'm sure I'm forgetting something else that's the origin, but I'm sure we'll get to it. It's important that we understand Genesis. And my job today is to get you a little bit excited about Genesis, and what we are going to learn. And so, if you read the Bible, I'm sure you all know the first verse of Genesis. Genesis 1:1, right? And it said, if you remove this verse, the rest of the Bible is meaningless. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. There was the scientist, I believe his name is Spencer, Herbert Spencer, I believe, is his name. He said, everything that exists, exists in five categories. It's time, okay? Force, you have space, matter. In the beginning, God, I'm forgetting what, space, time, matter, energy, huh? A force, I'm sorry, force. Yes, so when you look at that, all five of them you see here in this one verse, right? In the beginning, at the time, God is the force, right? The creator, the heavens is the space, and the earth is the matter. All five exist in this. By the way, you know, if you're interested, I can send you a message. There is a Jewish guy who took this verse in the beginning, and he has said that in those words, the whole story of the human a human life, or the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation, all plan of God is included in those words, in the beginning, in the Jewish letters, when you break it down. Okay. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Now, I want you to stop, I want you to think about this in a second, because until today, I did not think about this, right? What does the word in the beginning mean? Because we, you know, up to now, what I was used to think is, okay, that's when everything started, right? No, that's not, this is a time mark for us, not for God. God is not limited by time. So this is a time stamp for us that in the beginning, telling us that God is eternal. Does God abide by time? Right? Nor space. There is no such thing. So even before we get to God created the heavens and earth, you know what God created? God created time. And someday he's going to take that away. That's a wonderful thing to think about when we think about our people who have gone away and be with the Lord. The time does not exist. God created time for us to see this. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. So when we look at this creation for the next 6 days, that is going to talk about, there are a lot of theories on that. Okay, some people believe in the creation, and as I say, some people believe in evolution. Then we have people who believe in a theistic evolution, meaning God started everything off. And then they take on the evolution that the science took over, and you know, all the stuff that you guys studied in school, that's what happened. Okay. Some believe in a progressive evolution, which is different ages. Okay, that each day that God is talking about here are millions of years. That okay, 1 million year or however the you wanna break it down, the first day was a period of time. And then another period of time started. And that's what it means by 6 days. Well, that's not what Genesis says. Genesis says 6 literal days. Because in the Hebrew, the word is yam, Y-O-M. And whenever that word is mentioned, that word always refers to 24-hour. 24-hour period, a day like what we know. So I have no reason to dispute that. Yes, I know the scientists and the world says the earth is millions of years old and it's impossible to create the world in 6 days. But I believe the Bible. And it all starts in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. When I believe that, it's easier for me to believe the rest of it. If you don't believe that, you will have a hard time believing everything else that follows in the Bible. So here we have, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. This is the condition, okay? And in the Hebrew, this verse literally where when it says void, void is bahu, B-A-H-U, V-A-H-U, wahu, bahu, wahu. And it literally means wilderness and empty place. So what he's saying, the earth was wilderness and empty. This is not the only place those words are mentioned. You can go into Jeremiah. Jeremiah talks about it. Isaiah talks about it. And that's a profound message here in verse 2, that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Look at the verse 1. What did God do? He created heaven and he created earth. He created the earth. It was what? Formless and without void. You know, without any, it was void, it was dark, there was nothing, it was just a big lump of darkness, which was pretty much filled with water throughout the whole thing. It was, and today I'm seeing that we are almost coming to the end of the time, so we're just going to stop this verse, and what I want to share with you on this is, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. That is the condition of each and every one of us when we come to God. We are in a wilderness, we are empty, we are without form, we are without purpose. And this is where we see that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. The Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit, the water in the Bible is always associated with Jesus, okay, I am the living water, I'm the, you know, that you, so you have a presence of water, you have a presence of Holy Spirit, and when they get together with the Father's presence, you have life. That's when the order comes, right? It says, as the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Think about that. There was no light up to now. It was just darkness, right? And keep this in mind. There, a lot of times we associate light with the sun. There is no sun at this point. He says, let there be light. And so as we study the word, all of our hearts at one point or another, if you have not submitted to Christ, are in the condition what it talks about in the verse 2. Void, okay, filled with stuff that it shouldn't be filled with, but then the Holy Spirit, which is hovering right now all around the world, not want people's heart to just so they would understand what Jesus is with the scripture, with the us sharing the gospel, us sharing the Jesus, somehow they come to know God, and then there's a light into their life. They let the light into their life, and now they are born again, and then they have eternal life. So I hope you are excited about this study. We are only going to cover these three words because I don't want to do injustice to the rest of that. And some of the stuff that we talked about, I hope I give you further detail, and we'll explore it. And then I think we'll have an amazing time. This is an amazing book, and I hope I do a better job than I did in back in 2015 to explain some of the things, the deep truth that lies in this wonderful scripture. Amen. Father, we thank you once again, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for using me for your purpose, Lord. Your word has gone out, Lord, and your word says that your scripture is never comes back. It penetrates the heart of each and every one of us, Lord. So I pray that I penetrate the heart of each and every person who's here, Lord, who has heard this message, Lord, who has heard from you, Lord. Despite my shortcoming, Lord, your word has the power to do what it is intended to do, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that you use it mightily, Lord, and as we move forward with this study, Lord, we surrender into your hand. We pray that you show us where we need to be and where we need to go, Lord, and what we need to concentrate on, Lord, and just equip us to understand what we need, Lord. Once again, we thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you for all that you have done for us, Lord. I submit each and every person into your hand. It's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray.